Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich. This is episode 39, and this one will be titled, Tuesday Night is Coming, A Good Woman's View of Sex. Some of you may recognize that first part of the title. We did Tuesday Night is Coming a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago, and had quite a good response on social media and emails sent to us and on the blog. And so we're going to do at least hear the first sequel based on some of those, one of those responses. And we've got plenty of material to do other responses to that topic. It's an interesting topic, and we'll be going through it here shortly. But as we always do, Dad, we do a quick review of last week's episode, episode 38, which was titled, Is Your Wife Really Finished With Your Marriage? Look again. Why don't you just kind of give a quick review of that and then the challenge that you left people with?
Well, my desire was to encourage every man who has had that moment in a crisis with his wife where she says, I think I'm through with the marriage. I'm done. I want a divorce. And the encouraging word to the male is don't take those words at face value. I know through the years you've heard your wife say you always or you never. And then, of course, we say to her, I don't always and I don't never. And now we're off and running on her absolute statements and we sidestep the issue that really is burdening her. And we all have had those moments. But the point is she will overstate things because at the moment in time, that's how she feels. She feels like you always or she feels like you never. I know often through the years, Sarah would say that to me. But in a more dramatic way, there are moments where a woman, she shouldn't, I'm not saying that she should say, I want a divorce, but she will, that can pop out in some people's marriages. It's really taboo. It's something one should never use. One should never use the D word, as we say. It's off limits. It's out of bounds. But what happens when she does? And we were pointing out that a lot of times a guy gets defeated when he hears that, and we had these exchanges with this fellow who wrote, and I basically take the position, let's not take that at face value. Let's stay the course on loving her. In fact, sometimes women will make these statements to test us to see if we will stay the course in kind of an odd way. You know, they will. One woman said, you know, it's kind of like you have this white picket fence in the front of the house. I go out and kick it every once in a while, see if it's sturdy and stable. Well, sometimes we husbands feel like our wives kick us, and we feel like, obviously, she's not interested in the relationship, when the truth is she's testing out our stability and whether or not she can feel secure in that. But in this correspondence, and we articulated those emails in our episode, he, over time, begins to realize she softens, and then it comes out that she never intended the divorce. That wasn't her desire, and I said, there it is. So if you're in that situation as a man, stay the course. And we indicated the challenge was do not take those statements at face value. And then don't fight fire with fire. Don't counter with, well, if you're going to divorce me, I'm going to divorce you. Don't do that, because what will happen is she will make her comment out of insincerity and then conclude you're sincere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that episode, again, was just a reminder that with these statements that can be quite volatile and extreme, and both parties can make statements like that. Things can seem to be disastrous, and that can feed into how friends and family are viewing the situation. But with patience, with proper counsel, with let's examine this further, you know, what came to light was that it, you know, she wasn't ready to walk away, at least in this instance. And I think that that's often the case, but not rushing to judgment, not making rash decisions, not listening to the girlfriend or the guy friend, whether you're a husband or a wife, that says, look, you need to leave her or leave him, you know, some patience and seeking a variety of you know, wise people around you, I think, was prudent. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you know, you reached out to him, and I think, at least from what we know so far, some things proved to be true in terms of your experience handling these types of situations.
Oh, well said.
Well, episode 39 today. I guess before we jump in, again, appreciate the response that we've had in some respects to the announcement of our kind of new digital products. We appreciate you being willing to listen to those on us as we try to put out free content and paid content. We're hoping again in the next month or two to be finalizing some things with our new store, even a new homepage. And so we hope that that's meaningful, easier use, easier ways to kind of navigate around. And we've been working on that diligently, and that will be coming soon as well. But, you know, ever so often we like to announce when we're doing a conference or a speaking event or a new product is coming out, and then we jump right into the topic like we are now as well. But one of the things that I have mentioned recently is the Love and Respect app, which is now also available on Kindle devices. So Windows devices, Kindle devices, Apple devices, and Android devices. You can download our Love and Respect app on all four platforms there, and hundreds and hundreds continue to download that each week, and we continue to put all our free content inside of that, as well as you can access our website and our online streaming platform, where we have a couple of products as well. So all those things can be accessed inside the app, and we encourage you to check that out. So thank you for doing that. But jumping into this week's episode, episode 39, Tuesday night is coming, A Good Woman's View of Sex. This was an email that we got shortly after doing Tuesday night is coming, and I apologize that I don't have that episode number. I should have that in front of me when we did that, but that'll be in the show notes, linking to that first episode if you did not get a chance to listen to it. But this woman emailed, and quite honestly, a very powerful email, well thought out, well written. And I was even joking with you recently, and she kind of wrote the podcast, you know, for us, just in terms of how she, you know, kind of chronologically went through things and encouraged others, asked questions. And so we're just going to go through this with me reading it and you kind of responding to some of her questions, but also I think, you know, also kind of going along with some of the suggestions that she made, which I think were pretty good and wise. So I'll start reading and you and I'll have some pauses, but you chime in where you want to comment on some things that she's saying. Well, she first starts out by saying, I can't believe I'm doing this, but as long as my identity is hidden, I will answer. Well, we appreciate you emailing Susie Smith. Well, there's my attempt at humor. No, we'd never do that. We don't even put the names in here, so I don't do that. So that's a made-up name. But we appreciate, some of you do take big risks when you email us, and you sometimes make that request and don't make that request, but we're honored how many of you bare your soul to us, you know, give us details, and it's a risk, and it's a challenge that you take, and we try to honor that either in our personal responses, reading, doing something on the blog, or doing something on the podcast. So we appreciate that, and certainly we're hiding the identity here. She goes on to say, I think this is one of the biggest issues that we struggled with in our marriage, and one that I have spent many hours on my face before God about. My desire is to please and honor God and to do my best to meet my husband's needs. So I always looked at the scripture in Corinthians as being told I was never to say no to sex, and if I did, I was in sin. My sex drive is lower than my husband's, but it was more than that. Our marriage went through a period of over 2 years where I never said no, and I would initiate sex every third day faithfully, and yet it did not help our marriage. It became expected that I would initiate every third day. Often I would cry my eyes out in the shower beforehand because I felt like God required that of me, and my husband would treat me coldly if I didn't. I can't even tell you what. Even thinking about it to this day is so painful. So she kind of starts off with that introductory paragraph, just kind of laying out what she did for 2 years and her view of sex, I guess, kind of being in the church and how she's supposed to respond to her husband, even referencing, you know, Corinthians, but any kind of initial thoughts?
Right. Well, I think that reference is 1 Corinthians 7, where we are to fulfill our duty to each other. Paul talks about husband and wife do not have authority over their own body. The other does. She does not have authority over her own body. Her husband does. The husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And so that's where we talk about mutual submission to each other. There's mutual authority. Each has equal say. And that's why we title this on Tuesday night. I mean, it's coming. So who decides on Tuesday night if we're going to have sex or not have sex? And she's referencing that passage, and she is saying, and this is what's so tender, and I want every man to listen to this, that here's a good-willed woman who is seeking to be obedient to God, is seeking to meet her husband's need, makes herself available every third day, even initiates that, and yet in response, he does not respond to her, but yet in a cold, cold way. And the challenge for men is to stop and think about this. Why would you treat your wife this way? I mean, what is going on that would result in the kind of insensitivity to this woman who is serving, giving, responding, meeting your sexual need, and basically you disconnect from her emotionally, and she's now suffering in pain? And we have to ask the question of every man listening, why? Why? That has to be asked. And I think for those women out there who are imitating her, again, I just want to honor you for your obedience to Christ and your desire to meet your husband's need, and that nothing we do is wasted. Even if a husband is not responsive to this, if you worship Christ in the sexual intimate area, as you do it unto Christ, you are touching the heart of Christ, and sex is not defiled in His eyes. He's the one that designed it. It's His blueprint, and you are touching Christ's heart. So in the midst of this, one thing that I would say to her is nothing she's done is wasted. Everything she's done has touched the heart of Christ.
Even though there's an unfairness to what we're hearing here in the beginning, right? I mean, nothing is wasted
mistreated.
Even in the face of...
Yeah, it's not working in her husband's heart at this point, but this doesn't mean that what she's done... In other words, some women would say, well, then just stop altogether. No. I mean, she... yes, maybe it depends on how that plays itself out. But the answer here isn't just, you know, now be disobedient by depriving your husband. There are ways of moving forward on this. But one thing I'm trying to say to her is nothing's been wasted, and that she is a godly woman who is being obedient to the Scriptures. And if Christ is there, and we believe that He is, and that God has revealed this truth, then she can find comfort in what she's been doing. She's not the fool for this. And I think there are women out there who would say, well, she's just a fool. And no. I mean, the idea of suffering and unfairness, I get that. But, I mean, is anybody reading the Scripture? I mean, she's not tortured here. This is not a situation where she's being crucified. But all of the Scripture talks about unfair situations. But if we suffer for righteousness, this leads to reward. This leads to the blessing of Christ on our lives. And there are a lot of holy women out there who get that, who understand that, and she would be in that category, and I salute her.
Mm-hmm. She goes on to say, with that said, I have learned a lot. I have learned that I am not wrong for not desiring sex less often than my husband does. At the same time, I try to never make him feel like he is wrong or bad about needing sex more often.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this again is just a sign of her maturation. And one of the points is that we're all going to have different desires sexually, and that's the point of Tuesday night. You know, is he wrong for saying no on Tuesday night and she's right for saying yes? No, both are okay for that. Is she wrong for saying no? Is he wrong for saying yes? I mean, again, we point out neither are wrong. We're just different. And here's a mature woman who realizes, you know, I have less of a sex drive. But what I also appreciate about her is that she's not saying, as one woman said to Sarah, look, I have no interest, I have no energy, I have no, you know, desire for this, and so therefore I'm not going to have sex with my husband. It's all about her and all about her disinterest, and so she deprived her husband. And that's not the way in which one wants to draw a conclusion here. And this wife realizes, you know, I desire sex less, but I'm not going to judge my husband because he desires it more. And I just appreciate her wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And so as she shares how she's moved towards him sexually, she also now shares how she has tried to open up about where her needs are as well. She goes, I have tried for years to share with my husband that I need an emotional, spiritual connection with him for me to feel open to his sexual advances and for sure to initiate sex or seek him out. Even though I ended up giving in and being the only one to initiate every third day, my husband lost my heart, just like Dr. E said. The good thing is that my source of strength is in Christ alone, not in my marriage or my husband.
And here I want to say to every man, hear what she's saying. This husband lost her heart. This is a good-willed woman. This is a woman who is going 110%. And I want to say to this guy, where's your brain? Well, what are you thinking here? How are you allowing this to happen? This is a good woman. Why would you treat her in the way that this is happening? And I've read emails through the years, and I know when someone's kind of bolstering their own position versus not. This woman's the real deal. I know that. I'm totally confident of that. And so the question on the table for the man listening is, are you putting your wife in a position where you're going to eventually lose her heart? I want you to hear this podcast as a challenge to you to think this through. If you've got a wife like this woman, you've got a gold mine, because there's so many men out there who are suffering because their wives have said, I don't care about sex. I'm not going to have sex. And you're totally deprived and you're subjected to satanic attack. Whereas some of you have a wife like this, and you're completely losing her heart. And I don't want that to happen for you.
I think even my husband would admit his pride and selfishness in this department. He wants sex, but not the vulnerability to ask in a way that is not a turnoff, and to work to maintain the relationship in a way that draws me to him physically. Probably every woman is different. For me, simple things like reading a book together, praying together, helping me with the household so I have the energy to be with him. Those are big things. I don't necessarily need a lot of physical attention, just compassion and understanding and willingness to not take up an offense if a need isn't met, but a willingness to talk it through and come to a happy medium.
Here's the classic illustration that you turn on a woman sexually by not having anything to do with her sexually. The irony of it all is that what turns a woman on sexually are the non-sexual things. This is a classic truth, an axiom, a basic principle. And gentlemen, if you've never learned that, I want you to trust me here. Don't listen to Hollywood that they're drooling, you know, and so on and so forth. Every 3 days a month, you know, there's going to be that peaking of sexual interest because she can become pregnant. There are these sexual appetites. But, you know, we say 27 days out of the month, it's the relationship with you that excites her, not just raw sex. And so notice the things that turn her on. And it's so easy to do. Reading a book together, praying together, helping her with the household. Why is it that your wife wants you to vacuum? It isn't necessarily because she's this domestic engineer who has a whip in hand and wants you to abide by every command she gives to you. Maybe she realizes that it's a sexual turn on to her. And so I want you to just be reminded here that it's the non-sexual things, not taking up offense when you normally would. That's a huge issue. I mean, talk about a turnoff to a woman. You're all upset, you're all offended, you're angry at her over something that really is nothing more than minutia, and you don't understand the extent to which you're turning her off sexually. You and I can compartmentalize our sexual life from the emotional, relational. In fact, we get energized by having sex as an end in itself because of our anatomy and the quick release and just the relaxation that comes. Her sexuality is much more subtle. You can't tell if a woman is sexually turned on. It's very subtle. They're very subtle signs. They're there, but they're subtle. You and I don't have any subtlety about our sexual arousal. And you need to understand then that she is different. And what turns her on are the non-sexual things.
I think when each person thinks of the other one as more important than themselves, then this area of conflict lessens. It is still there, but maybe instead of giving your wife the silent treatment for not wanting sex one night, you could lovingly approach her and gently say, "Sweetheart, I love you, and I just want to be close to you. Is there anything I can do to help you? I know you work hard to take care of the house and kids, and I want to help. I would love to have a time of intimacy later today if you're up for it. If not, I understand, and maybe we can plan something tomorrow." Don't say, "Are we going to have sex?" and then go sit on your rear. Here is a biggie. If she is tired, don't treat her coldly, and don't act like sex is owed to you. That will never draw her to you. It will always push her further away. There are many times where if you will just treat her with kindness, you will open her heart, and she will desire you even if she is tired. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. I can't speak for most wives, but my heart's desire is to bring God glory, and if I see understanding and compassion from my husband, it would be rare for him to ever have to ask for sex. I would be a much more willing participant. I think you have to know your own spouse, though, because we are all different in what makes us feel loved and respected. So she's kind of giving advice to I guess primarily husbands here, but both parties in this.
Well, it's huge. You know, I mean, and she does represent a whole lot of women. We know that there are men out there who are being deprived, and that's another issue that we'll address, that there are women who are unfairly treating their husbands, and our hearts go out to those men, and that's an issue in and of itself. But by and large, the godly wise woman that I know, who's tender to the things of Christ and cares about her husband's need, she gets the fact that her husband needs sexual release. This woman represents the woman that is in the church far and wide. I believe that. We have a lot of good-willed women out there like this, and she's basically saying, hey, here's who we are, and here's what we can do in response to you. But if you basically say, are we going to have sex, that's not the approach. And so the challenge, again, for you men who have been brought up in an environment where no one ever coached you on this, or you're just hanging out with guys that, you know, it's along this line, you're better than that. You're a better man than that. You're a good-willed man. I believe you want to follow Christ and are. And there is a moment here where you can just say, you know what? I can become the wiser from the advice of this gal. I can do this. Maybe the language she's saying isn't the way I would say it. Maybe I'm self-conscious doing it face-to-face, but I can write what she said in a note to my wife. There are all kinds of ways you can do it if you are shy and introvert, but the message is clear. If you communicate this way with your wife, your wife is going to respond to you. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, even if you were self-centered. I mean, sex is a huge, huge issue to men. So now let's think about this for a moment. If there's a way you can approach this, and hopefully you do it genuinely, but even in the initial stages, if you feel like I'm following a script a little bit to learn how to do this, that's fine. But I mean, why wouldn't you do this? Why would you not do this? It seems to me that this husband isn't doing it because he's gotten what he's wanted and he hasn't had to do anything to, you know, touch her heart. But there's going to come a moment when she's going to shut down, and then you're going to be in that crisis. And this woman may say, I'm done. It's over with. We've been going for a decade now and I'm finished with this. So you don't want to jeopardize this wonderful relationship you have. But again, I'm going to appeal to you as the good-willed man, hear the script that she's laying out here and follow this in authenticity, and because you're serving your wife and she will be responsive to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think she leaves the door open, so to speak, too. And maybe this is for another future episode, too. As a husband, there is that fine line of, you know, letting your wife know that she turns you on, right? That you're aroused by her, and that's a special part of the, you know, relationship, right? But there is the activity, the things that you do for her, the language you use around it. I mean, we can always take it, you know, too far, but where is that balance too of there is a time to use that language as a husband too, right? I mean, I'm really attracted to you, honey, right? Can we have sex? You know, these types of things where, you know, she is the woman that, turns you on. I think she leaves the door open for it in the context of how that, is approach, right? Because I mean, this idea that, you know, we do non-sexual things that will lead to sexual things with her, but how do we also, as guys, right, you know, let our wives know that they turn us off, even though it's turn us on, not even though it's not as maybe meaningful to her as some of these other things that she's described, right?
Right. No, and I think she communicated the idea that if there's a sense of reciprocity, we're meeting those emotional needs of her, women respond to our requests, our desire. There is a sense of fairness. What happens is she feels, in this case, she's doing all the work. There's mm-hmm. He's not even coming over close to meeting her needs. She's seeking to meet all of his, and even when she does, he doesn't respond. And if he does say anything, it's kind of like, are we going to have sex tonight? I mean, this is really lopsided. But I mean, to your point, when a man begins to communicate in the non-sexual ways to his wife, it doesn't mean that he isn't free to communicate his sexual interest. Mm-hmm. And she will get that. I mean, in fact, she'll go along with that. She enjoys that. What she doesn't enjoy when it's just one-sided, and that's where the fallout comes. So again, if you're doing the non-sexual things, those then begin to be the turn-ons, and the very important point, it does turn her on sexually, and she will engage in the sexual intimacy between husband and wife, not unlike the Song of Solomon. She's not going to be unresponsive to that language, or, you know, not enter into the sexual tease, she will enjoy that. But that comes as a result. That's, let's put it this way. You don't start that way with a woman. You start in the non-sexual, and then it turns sexual. It doesn't mean absolutely all the time, but it does mean that she will get turned on, but you've got to go through kind of an emotional connection with her in order for that to happen. And then will come the language and the excitement and those secret things that husbands and wives express to themselves.
Here's her final paragraph. As a wife, I'm realizing that my husband needs my help. He does not think like me. He does not feel like me. And he can have sex with very little connection and be okay with that. This is where I am really trying to learn how to respond in a respectful manner, how to have the freedom to share my feelings about how things are going and what I need from my husband, but doing it in a way that he can hear me. That is hard because I don't think like him. It is a struggle, but honoring one another, no matter what I think, is key to working this out. First time one gets selfish, prideful, or reactive, it makes it so much more difficult. Be willing to talk about it openly and with honor and respect from both sides. Seems so simple, doesn't it? But it is the hardest thing that you will ever have to do. That is why I'm committed to working it out over my lifetime. I think it may well take that.
Well, this is one wise woman, and certainly there's no resolution here in this email. She is still kind of in the same pickle that she's been in. But I do think she gives us the clue, and I think the challenge here for the man listening is, look, if you've got a wife who comes to you respectfully and honorably and to address these issues with you, and she says something like this, and I would encourage every wife to approach their husband this way, honey, I don't want to dishonor you. I respect you. How do I communicate my feelings in our sexual area without you feeling this is me somehow sending a message of dishonor? I have needs that I long for you to meet because it's a turn on to me, and I want to engage you sexually. I want to get excited about sex, but there are certain things happening right now that are not exciting me. And how do I say this in such a way that you don't feel dishonored or disrespected? I think that kind of conversation, saying it that way, broaches it. My concern is, and Jonathan, I've seen this, there's some guys out there that are so insecure that it's almost like no matter what she says, he stiff arms her, he gets angry, he pouts. But I think part of the challenge there is that's probably going to be his reaction, but it may not be his long-term response. And so you broach it that way, the way I've given voice to it, the way she's saying, and then just trust over the months ahead as you just revisit this in a mature way, and he gets insecure, he reacts, but eventually he'll begin to awaken. I think you'll see some positive gestures. Mm-hmm. I think men, if he's got any degree of goodwill, we just must assume he doesn't know how to do this. He's self-conscious about doing this. He feels uncomfortable maybe at the emotional level. But as you begin to honor him, one of the things that men do, it's not about the lovey-dovey stuff. It's about the respect language, honor code. Men do feel emotion in response to those moments where they feel honored. And I think if she approaches it this way and isn't afraid of doing this, just stays the course on this, if there's any degree of goodwill, I believe the husband will begin to make adjustments. I believe that with all my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think I also heard you say, I mean, it can be a completely selfish act on the husband's part in this sense, but there is, I think I heard you say that sometimes it's not about the selfish act of wanting, you know, the sex. I mean, that's there, but it's also the flip side component. They don't know how to be in relationship to their wife, right? I don't know what the non-sexual intimacy looks like, right? And it makes me feel really, you know, uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just even being open, you know, about that, their own vulnerabilities, right? I mean, again, as you've talked about so often, right, this, it may come naturally for the woman and unnaturally for, you know, for the man. I mean, sure, across the board, there can be this selfish man. I'm not going to do this towards her. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to go there, but she's going to give me, you know, sex, right? Mm-hmm. But there's the flip side, right? I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know how to do these acts of service that are meaningful to you, right? I don't know how to move towards you and talk about your day. I don't know how to just lay next to you on the couch and watch a show, right, without it being sexual, right? I mean, there are some real, I think, challenges on that component. So, I mean, this is where coaching each other, I think, as she's suggesting, right, goes a long right. way.
Well, and I think men do know how. I think all the things you just stated, this is not complicated stuff. This isn't rocket science. Reading a book together, offering to vacuum.
Well, I guess let me doubt their own ability versus, so the ability is there, right? But right. the doubt of, this is a kind of a foreign world, you know, to me. So I'm not saying it's determined that you can't do this, right? But there's this, I'm not practiced at this. Yes, I'm not good at it. And frankly, sometimes I really don't want to do it. So that's there
that's
as
correct.
Well, right?
No, that's exactly right. And that's where a man has to then, as an honorable man, ask himself. As I say, there's going to be mutiny with men if you treat men dishonorably and unjustly. Mm-hmm. There's going to be mutiny. Not being met, you know, the question is, are you an honorable man who's willing to treat her fairly and justly in this? And I think reading a book, vacuuming, and not just, you know, hey, I vacuumed today, can we have sex? That's not the approach we want to use. But that there's this sense that, you know what, I can do these things. This energizes her, and it causes her heart to be responsive to me, not only emotionally, but also sexually. So I'm going to make the assumption today that there are a lot of guys who just have not understood that this is the way to approach a woman. The basic principle is the way in which you reach the heart of your wife sexually is by not doing sexual things, but doing these non-sexual things.
Sure. Well, we appreciate you joining us for episode 39 of the Love and Respect podcast. Hopefully that was a meaningful kind of quote-unquote first sequel to the episode we did on Tuesday night is coming. We had a great response to that first one. I'm assuming there'll be another great response to this one, but hopefully it gets people thinking, communicating with each other in a different way. And thanks for joining us this week. Any kind of final comments today?
The best way to turn your wife on sexually is not to try to turn her on sexually.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.